How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Deuce and Moe. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe. The podcast that you know.
Welcome to Deuce and Moe podcast. Sacramento Kings are in trouble.
Oh my God. You're just starting.
Yeah. I'm starting like that tonight. They are in trouble. Sacramento Kings on the home floor lose to the Brooklyn Nets. Nets, by the way, give them love. They play hard. Also down a couple of guys tonight, including Dorian Finney-Smith, Dennis Schroeder, some key guys.
Key guys.
Didn't really matter because Cam Thomas,
oh,
first team all bucket getter. Dominated. Kings get off to a slow start. They had to try to rally back, took the lead, but kind of similar themes we've talked about after a lot of these losses. Morgan Reagan, one team hits 19 threes, the other team hits 9. That's 57-27 advantage. Okay. One team is only able to muster 9 bench points, and then one team doesn't do much in the fourth quarter. That team being the Sacramento Kings, who had 15 points in the fourth quarter, 6 of 23, shooting 0 for 7 from 3 in the fourth quarter. You add all that up, that's a fat L. Sacramento loses on its home floor to the Brooklyn Nets, 108-103. They're now 4-5 at home. They're now 8-9 on the season. And the East sucks. We know this, right?
Yeah.
The East, we all, the East is they're so terrible. Well, Sacramento has now lost to Toronto, Atlanta, and Brooklyn. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing,
Don't Mom? Ask. Don't ask. I'm not good.
Yeah.
I got that, like, heaviness in my chest, like, where it's not a panic attack, but there's panic in my chest.
Yeah, because this feels like a very fragile time for this group.
Yes.
The West is unbelievably challenging, and now the Kings have the fourth worst record in the West.
Oh, dear.
Right?
Yep.
The only teams below them, I believe, are Portland, Utah, and who's the last team below them, Morgan?
I don't know it.
You should the Pelicans.
Oh, yeah.
The Pelicans. Those are the only teams that are below Sacramento right now. The Blazers, Utah, and the Pelicans in the Western Conference. And The Kings are getting ready for a tough portion of their schedule, including the second night of a back-to-back coming up Monday night, taking on the 12-4 Oklahoma City Thunder before hitting the road to take on Minnesota. This is scary hours in Sacramento. This is... I don't know where they go at this point.
And what I will say right away, because I've been 20 games into a Sacramento Kings season many, many, many times before, And I never feel like this, ever. I never feel like this. Like, that's just not me. I believe in how long the season is that, sure. you know, you can figure things out, blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, this is what it is, but I didn't have expectations anyways, or whatever. My standards are always high of what I want with effort and the style of basketball I want to see, how I want players to be coached, all those different things. But what I feel right now as 17 games in, 16?
Game 17 was tonight.
17 games in. I feel like my expectations were super high coming into this season because of the changes, the move that was made to add something along the lines of these guys being in their prime years and needing to kind of evolve off that, grow off that. And instead, it's going the opposite way. So, and it's going the opposite way fast. So I'm feeling panicky inside my whole body right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens with expectations, right? The expectations are high now, right? I mean, we talked about this the other night, Morgan. We were driving back from San Francisco and the Kings had lost to the Clippers. They're 8-8. I'm like, man, sometimes you wish you had the days where it's a few years back, low expectations, and you're 8-8 and celebrating.
I miss those days.
That it doesn't feel good right now because you're not supposed to be like this. And it's also just what we're seeing too, right? Like, this Kings schedule has not been like super challenging in terms of opponents. Mm-mm. The 15-26 that we talked about, okay, that was daunting. I get all that. But in terms of the opponents, it's only getting more challenging from here on out.
Yeah.
You had kind of an East heavy schedule at the beginning, and you haven't been able to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
You fall below 500 at home. And like tonight, let's just start with tonight, and then we'll try to big picture and all this stuff.
Okay.
Tonight, you get off to another hideous start. And after what happened last game against the Clippers, where they just completely outplayed you, I think the Clippers are a really good team, okay? I'm not saying the same thing about the Brooklyn Nets. I'm sorry. True. You can like admire what Jordy Fernandez has done with that group. You admire some of the pieces on their team and how they have played. But when you're at home take on the Brooklyn Nets, if you're a good team, you win tonight. And I expected the Kings to come out with a different level of focus and intensity to start this game. And what I saw was a Nets team that coming into this game attempts 48% of their shots from three, do exactly what they wanted to do, and that was rain down threes, hit 7 of 11 from downtown. Guys who are good three-point shooters on the Nets were getting good looks from three. And, like, if I can't watch that. Like, you got to be locked in defensively from the start. And there were a couple things I didn't like. Kevin Huerter was the guy that started the game on Cam Thomas. You've got De'Aaron Fox, and you've got Keegan Murray on the floor. One of those guys has to be on Cam Thomas. They made that switch later,
yeah.
But by then, Cam's already in his bucket. He could score on anybody anyway, but don't make his life any easier. I just could not believe that Sacramento got off to the start they did. It was 15-15 near the halfway point of the first quarter, and then Brooklyn closed on a 22-13 run. Sacramento gives up 37 points in the first quarter, and it only got worse from there.
Yeah, you start with that. And just defensively what we saw. I said this to Deuce as he called me ranting on the way home. And I said, it's not like teams are just like getting lucky and every team is feeling good from 3-point range against the Sacramento Kings. It's not like, oh my God, they came in shooting, you know, 28%, but man, now they're shooting 40% tonight, whatever it may be. No. It's because the looks that they are getting from three is creating this confidence in their shot. I mean, it's for some, it could be like a warm-up shot, you know, where someone's just running out on you. And
great example of this tonight.
What?
Noah Clowney, not known for being a good 3-point shooter, yes! But he's been working on that part of his game. He was 5-for-8 from downtown. You know,
4-4 right away. 4-4 from 3-point land right away.
The one he hit with 8/10 to go.
Oh God!
Going into the fourth quarter, I about lost my mind. I'm like, how does that? You brought up Alex Len to defend him, so something like that can't happen. And what does he do? He buries a three and it ties the game at 88. I'm to the point, and this could be really dumb, some basketball purists could be listening right now and be like, Deuce, you're being irrational.
Oh, let's hear it.
With the three-pointers, I'm to the point now, screw this whole like, hey, this is a hot shooter, this is a cold shooter. In my mind, everyone's going to be a hot shooter. Uh-huh. And that means we are going to run these guys off the line. I think right for so long this, you know, this year, Sacramento is elected. They got to help Sabonis, right? Sabonis is not the longest guy. So like, it seems like so often the Kings have to recover because they overhelp in the paint sometimes. I thought they overhelped on Ben Simmons tonight. If Ben Simmons is going to kill me, let Ben Simmons do it.
Yep.
Please, I saw Ben Simmons shooting before the game. The weirdest rotation on his shot. It was like a tornado. The guy can't shoot.
And he doesn't want to shoot. He doesn't want to shoot.
You know what I do? I'm not guarding Ben Simmons. Forget about the guy. Other teams in the league do that. Forget about him. But I do not want anyone else getting clean looks. And I think too many times, Sacramento's got to help recover, and the guys recovering, unfortunately, are 6'4", and they're not super long, and they're closing out on Cam Johnson, who's 6'8", 6'9". He's already got in rhythm shot.
Well, but also, when you are a taller player, and the opponent, the individual that is running on you, that is guarding you, whatever, is going to be shorter. You're going to also feel that confidence right away in your game that you can shoot over them, right? Like, even if they were on you and you were in the mid-range. So when it's from three, you understand exactly how much space you have, especially if your release is high above your head. I mean, in a lot of these guys, that's what it is from beyond the arc. And so you're seeing that with Kings defenders running out just two steps too late, but it's two steps too late all the time. So I'm completely with you. You have to completely change that defense. And yes, you don't want a whole bunch of teams to feel confident and score on you in the paint. But at the same time, when they're making that outside shot, it's one extra whole point every time they make that basket. You know, you might as well start slowing people down from beyond the arc, because it is just atrocious what we are seeing from this Kings three-point defense.
Brooklyn is a good three-point shooting team. I think they came in eighth in three-point percentage at 38%. They shoot 48% from three tonight, 10 over their average. So an already good three-point shooting team knocks down 19 of 39, just under 49% from three. You're just not going to win games like that. It's just not going to happen. And it's especially not going to happen now when Sacramento either can't make any threes or they don't take enough of them. Like tonight, they took 25 threes. They made 9 of them. How are you going to win the game? And then, you know, so anyway, the three-point defense has been a theme all year. We've seen so many teams come in or just face the Kings and knock down 19, 20 threes. And good luck winning in today's game if you're giving that up on a regular basis. You're going to be a losing team like you are at 8-9.
And I felt like last year, the thing that we talked about a lot, and Mike Brown even broke things down and explained things to the media when it came to closing out on certain players, like when you wanted to chop your feet, when you wanted to run them off the line. We had all the different things, when you can high five them, you know, making sure that you're just there on time. And I feel like we are so far away from that now at this point of this season, where I'm like, do you just start trusting that Sabonis, even though he might not have the length, but that he's a strong enough man in the paint that he can stay vertical and defeat whoever may come in there? It just sucks when you are running a guy off the line, though, and then he gets screwed with, am I going to foul this guard coming in? Am I going to stay with my guy? Is this guy a lob threat? So many different things to focus on there. But at the same time, the way that you're losing these threes are so deflating against this Kings defense every single night.
I know it's early, but can we get to some of the messages?
I don't care.
We do have some people that might be trying to bait Deuce. And you know what? I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let's get to a couple of them.
But I like it.
Sean, we're getting a lot of comments right now, so I'm missing. But Sean was saying, Deuce, why did you try to, why did you lie to us and say this team was going to be good this year? Evan says, you guys tried to tell me at the beginning of the game that I was wrong, and I told you over and over I was right, and look who was right. I don't know if you meant the beginning of the season. Evan, if you want congratulations that you were right that the Kings were going to be good or lose this game, I will offer you congratulations at this moment. And Sean, I did not lie to you. You know, it's crazy. Just because I say something doesn't mean I'm going to be right. Breaking news at this hour. I'm wrong. It happens. And I'm sure, Sean, you're never wrong. You're only right. Mm-hmm. It's easy to come in here when things aren't going well and throw jazz. Hey, dude, you were wrong. Okay, just keep the same energy when things are going well. That's all I'm saying. The Kings have not been a good team this year. They have been bad. There's no doubt about it. And it's frustrating. They should be better than this. I think they are playing below expectations. I'm sorry. I did not envision this team being so shitty from three.
It's funny that Sean and whoever else said those things, because even when we were coming back from San Francisco after the Clippers game that we had to do at the NBC studios, there was a point, because we're frustrated too. And there was a point I said to Deuce, 50 games? I said, you said they're going to, and I like started getting mad at him for lying to me, for telling me these things. But at the same time, like he has the same response. It's like, what, you want him to lie to you and not be authentic with how he feels from what he sees from the roster and what has changed. And your point to me though, with that really quick, you're like, this team won 46 games last year with all the health problems at the end of the year. And so this year they had DeMar DeRozan and they were healthy. So of course I just thought they were going to win 50. And I was like, fair. But I also understand where everyone's coming from right now with the frustrations seeing the product that we're seeing right now.
So we go to the second quarter. The Kings get down by 19. It was a crazy sequence too. The fans were obviously unhappy at Golden 1 Center. So Colby Jones is a steal. He's taking it to the basket. Ben Simmons blocks the shot. The replay show, I mean, Ben Simmons fouled him.
It should have been a foul.
And then on the other end, who hits a three? Clowney. It makes it 54-35 at the 7:13 mark of the second quarter. And Mike Brown, for the first time season, loses his absolute shit. And he goes right at Scott Twardowski. And from my angle, it looked like he bumped him. The TV angle, they only showed like Mike from behind, so you couldn't tell. But from when I saw it, he bumped him. And I thought, well, Mike's gone.
Yeah.
Mike Brown was trying to get ejected.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt he was trying to get ejected. They did not toss him.
I was so happy.
The refs were like, you know what? No. You're watching this shit. You're going to sit back and watch this shit, Mike.
Oh, you think you can get out of this one?
He did not get ejected. And that seemed to kind of spark the Kings a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like they got it together a little bit. And they go to halftime. It's 65-57 Brooklyn. And I'm thinking at halftime, this feels like an absolute miracle right now that this game is close.
Yeah. Oh, I felt that. I was like, okay, well, even if the Kings come back in this one, how do I feel is what I questioned myself at that point. And I was like, I still don't feel good, but I'll feel better if they ended up coming back and winning. But go on.
So we go to the third quarter. The Kings get back into the game, but it was still clunky at times. It was 82-80. Brooklyn's on top. The Kings had back-to-back turnovers. Then they missed an open three. And you're like, okay, you had so many opportunities to take the lead. Will you ever take the lead? Well, they end up tying it. Keegan Murray with a fallaway jumper, late shot clock. He had no choice, decides he's going to put the ball on the floor, a little jab step, turnaround jumper, ties the game at 82. And that was great. Keegan Murray had 8 points in the quarter. And then we mentioned the Clowney three at the end of the third. It's 88-88. We go to the fourth quarter. Morgan, I thought this game was swinging into the Kings' favor. I thought it was swinging in a big way. Couple plays I loved early. Keegan Murray going hard at the basket jam on somebody's head. He gets fouled. Great. Then at the 10:20 mark, Herter isolated on Cam Johnson, blocks his shot, shot clock violation. He starts screaming at the bench.
Pumped.
The bench is fired up. The arena's fired up. It feels like momentum has shifted Sacramento's way. They're up 94-90.
Mm-hmm.
And then knock, knock. Knock, knock.
Oh. Who's there?
Cam fucking Thomas is here. And I'm ready to take this game over. Because no one can guard me out here.
No. No one.
This was a tough moment because Cam Thomas comes back into the game, hits a three immediately, and then Brown takes out Keegan and Fox.
Mm-hmm.
you're trying to balance, you know, we're saying, hey, you got to watch the minutes here, right? You got to be careful here. Well, Fox ended up playing 37, Keegan at 36. You take him out. I feel like you have to leave one of them in the game.
When Cam Thomas when was Cam's on the floor. On there. And I you're agree. Going,
yeah, no, but we got Keon. Yes, but immediately, first of all, I thought Keon struggled with Cam. I thought Cam was too fast for him. I felt like Keon was out of position a few too many times. Keon did some nice things. I'm not taking anything away. Cam Thomas just a tough cover. The guy who did the best on him was De'Aaron. De'Aaron made him,
oh my God.
Him work, forced him into some tough looks. He could still make big buckets. But taking Keegan and Fox out, they immediately got Keon in the action, and the Kings give up switches too easy. And Colby Jones is matched up against Cam Thomas or someone else's switch, and Cam's ability to navigate, get into the paint, make tough shots, spray out for open looks.
Cam needed a De'Aaron or a Keegan on him all night. Like, he had like the way this man can play night in and night out, but the way he was specifically playing tonight at Golden One Center was absolutely incredible. He was a bucket, and I was just like, no one can stop him.
That's a problem with your team, is when you can't afford to take Fox and Keegan out of a game because you do not have the personnel necessary to make life more challenging. You either don't have guys who are big enough, guys who are quick enough. It's just Cam took over. And a 94-90 game, they go on a 9-0 run. And it felt like, oh, the Kings couldn't muster up anything after that. DeRozan missed so many good looks. That's another guy I'm just concerned about. I see a picture tonight on social media. The guy is showing up in the Kings drip hallway, you know, where they take pictures of the outfits. Well, unless this is a style thing that I'm not familiar with, having something around your lower back, so his back's still bugging him, that's not good. That wasn't a style thing, right? Am I missing? Should
I think it was Louis Vuitton. It was.
It was some sort of back. I don't even know what to call it.
A back brace?
Brace or something that gives treatment to it.
Thank you.
Here's what I know. I've seen Tyrese Halliburton wearing it, and I go, that's not a good thing.
Not a good sign.
And the Kings could not get anything going in that fourth quarter. Brooklyn only scored 19 points in the quarter. 19 in the quarter. But you had 15 on 6 of 23, 0 for 7 from 3. I'm looking back at some of the moments in this game, Morgan. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's 105-98, 3:56 to go. The Kings miss 3 great chances. They get offensive rebounds.
I hated this.
Come up empty.
Yep.
Luckily, it doesn't come back to buy them. The Nets missed. The Nets are like, here, Sacramento, you can have this. Jordy likes you guys. Jordy said no Schroeder tonight and no Finney Smith. Here you go. You want the win? DeMar DeRozan and one. It's 105 on 100. Misses the free throw. Kings missed. They're back to missing free throws again. They missed 11, 20 of 31. Then 107-100, 2:57 to go. Cam Thomas, just an unbelievable finish. I don't know how he did. He like twists his body. Sabonis is right there, finishes. He lands. He takes a bump like he's Mick Foley being thrown off the Hell in the Cell.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you kidding? And he makes the shot. Then 107-102, Herter misses a wide open three. I think Trey missed a wide open three too. There were so many good looks for Sacramento tonight, and they couldn't capitalize. It was pretty much this. If De'Aaron Fox could win it, that was all.
That they
could muster, if anything. I thought Keegan had some nice moments, but ultimately down the stretch, fourth quarter, you've got Fox and DeRozan, and you only can score 15 points. Yeah. Beyond disappointing. You're 8-9. The season is in a beyond fragile state. I just talked for 7 straight minutes. Sorry, Morgan.
Thank you for... you know what? I really do appreciate that you were aware of that, because I was like, oh, cool. Like, this is a podcast. It's usually a conversation, but
I had to go over the end of the game.
I know.
You know what? I couldn't tell how long I was talking because I don't
have
headphones.
You don't have your headphones. Got it. Yeah. No, totally makes sense. Concept of time, headphones, duh. What I do want to say to this this game before we get to overall stuff, De'Aaron Fox is incredible at times.
Yeah.
And
get him some help so we can win.
I'm talking now.
I know. I just had to throw that in.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that one in there.
We're going to step a little back.
He's in the prime of his career.
So, God, I wish I was doing this podcast.
If I see De'Aaron Fox playing in Miami and winning. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Morgan. Stay. Okay. Going back to De'Aaron Fox and seeing how he's been playing these last couple of games, it feels like in some ways when you look at these games and the Kings not winning and some of his incredible performances, it hurts. And it hurts because this is the conversation that we had in the beginning of the season, in the off season, when it came to the contract situation and why he'd wait to sign. It's because he can make way more money if he, you know, gets all NBA, all these different things. And it was like, yeah, no shit. If you can make $100 million more, whatever the hell more it was, of course that's what you're going to do. But when you see things like this happen with the team, when you're playing your best basketball and the right stuff isn't happening around you all the way down the list, you're going to feel a certain way. Do I need to take my talents elsewhere? I do not want those conversations to start. And sadly, when he's playing like this, these are the things that come up in my mind. So I can only imagine how everyone else is feeling. So
we are spiraling together.
We
right
are
now.
Totally oh spiraling. God. I told you I wasn't well. Like, I'm not well. You're not well. And I know we're 17 games in this season, but it's like what I said at the beginning of this podcast. It's so different when you have the guys, just like Deuce said, in their prime, Domas, De'Aaron, in their prime years. And then you go, we're going to get a big fish. We're going to get DeMar DeRozan and make this all. Keegan's going to step up in year three. And by the way, Keegan responding tonight, hey. Unfortunately, it was a loss. But the way he responded and just was aggressive, but it wasn't only aggressive. I didn't see his shoulder slump when another foul was called on him. And he's like, that's a bullshit call.
He missed some great open looks in the corners early in this game. And I was like, are you going to keep it up? That guy was aggressive tonight. And
thank you.
I don't know like what went through his mind the last day or two. He needs to play with that type of force every night.
And he can.
I need him
can.
Not to give any shits anymore.
Thank you.
Like,
thank you.
Don't worry about DeMar, Domas, anybody else. Go get yours, dude. You are too. Seeing how him attack the basket, he had a ton of dunks tonight. He had that play in the mid-range. I've joked about this in the past. Sometimes Keegan is at his best when it's late shot clock and he is forced to like do something.
And
it's
what
like,
did he
no,
do?
You know what I'm going to tell? Keegan, in your head, every time you have the ball, there's five on the shot clock. Go make something happen. That means go create something, go score, get to the free throw line, get me a big rebound. Don't be afraid to take shots. That's the version of Keegan Murray I have to see every single night.
And on top of that, you know, obviously what he's doing on the defensive end, it's just like how much you can rely on him on the defensive end. So then when he's adding that to his game and, you know, 21 points, I just wanted double figures, you know, but a 21-point game in a game like tonight when you needed a lot, yes. And when I say when you needed a lot, because you had 9 effing bench points. 9
all from Keon.
Bench points. All from Keon Ellis. That is unacceptable, especially when Mike Brown is finally like, okay, I want my guys to play 35 minutes and I want to go in and rotate some other guys in. Who's going to contribute? And when everyone's telling him to do this and then nobody's stepping up to the plate, I just don't understand it, especially after like Trey Lyles in his 19 minutes. I think he played 16 minutes the other night too, but in his 19 minutes, when guys were out, he's crushing it. But you're telling me in those 19 minutes, he still couldn't have that same type of flow? I'm just confused. I feel like I'm missing something here.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like you said, the bench is shit. And you are missing a key bench guy in Malik Monk.
Sure.
We can acknowledge that.
Sure.
But the Kings bench was a question even with Malik.
Yeah.
So you have guys that you're not comfortable playing, right? Like even, so you signed Doug McDermott, okay? You waive McDaniels, who's a wing. And look, McDaniels is not in the NBA right now. So I'm not trying to proclaim like, hey, they missed here. You can always use shooting. I get that. But now I'm looking at going, okay, if you're not going to play Doug, then he's holding a roster spot. And then when he's out there, like they are.
He's a liability.
They're going
on the
at him,
end.
Right?
Yeah.
I need someone that can be long and and Ann can maybe hit an open three. Doesn't have to be an elite 3-point shooter. Now you're going, oh, good job, dude. You want a 3-and-D guy? Yeah, I do. And that's the thing. I think there's been too many times over the last couple of years where Sacramento has missed on moves, subtle moves. We all focus on the big ones sometimes, like Siakam, okay?
Yeah.
Or OG, or, you know, over the offseason, Markkanen, okay? But that's not the only moves you can take a swing at, right? You think about how some other teams just got better, right? Even in free agency.
Yeah.
I guess someone like Kyle Anderson. The Warriors get him. Like, Kyle Anderson was available for anybody to pick up,
I know.
You look at what Dallas did, right?
I know.
Getting Najee Marshall, right? Trading for P.J. Washington and Gafford. You look at the Clippers. Look what the Clippers did. Derrick Jones Jr., Chris Dunn. Like, these are the subtle moves that can really elevate your team if you get the right guys. And I don't think the Kings have enough of those.
And if you get, yes, more of those right tweaks or pieces, and then you have the right system. I think the system is there. I mean, we saw it in place before DeMar and Sabonis went out with the back. There was a flow there. And the flow was a little bit of everything. It was a little bit of De'Aaron. It was a little bit of DeMar. It was a little bit of Sabonis. It was, you know, even Keegan was still just kind of finding his groove in those moments. Obviously, Malik Monk was in that realm of things. But my point to that being is, I feel like Mike Brown can get the most out of whatever pieces he has. But right now, maybe because of that one added extra star player, however you want to say it, it's like, hey, you all have freedom. When maybe they all need a little bit more coaching and discipline. I don't know. I mean,
they have to.
I'm not seeing that behind
when
the
you have the fastest player in the NBA.
Yeah.
You have to play fast. But you also, like, this is the challenge, is we keep talking about, oh, the Kings. Like, that's the one talking point that people will bring up. And I understand it. It's like, hey, the Kings look different. Maybe the ball's not popping like it used to. I can acknowledge some of that. But part of this, too, is when you have guys who you are counting on to be legitimate 3-point shooters for you, not making threes,
changes everything.
It screws up your offense. Yep. Your offense is going to look different. Your offense is going to look completely different if Trey Lyles isn't making threes. If Kevin Huerter is shooting 30% from three, if Keegan Murray is shooting 30% from three, yeah, it's going to be clunky.
Well, that and something that you and I talked about before, Domas Sabonis. I was like, oh man, he didn't have any shot attempts until the second quarter. Well, he couldn't attempt any shots because he kept losing the basketball. How many turnovers has he had in the last three games or whatever your stat was?
Well, he had 4 tonight. He cleaned it up later. But in the last six games. He has 31 turnovers.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really bad number. That's missing out on possessions, offensive possessions, where he could have had a shot attempt, where Keegan could have had a shot attempt. That ball being turned over leads to so many different things being very bad. Very bad.
Yeah, I mean, and tonight I felt like he got it going later by hitting the glass hard. He had 18 rebounds, had some putbacks, hit a three.
Yeah.
But early on, it was just like, be stronger with the ball. Like, I know guys are banging with you. Can you not travel? Like, let's work on that too. You know, like, we got to lock in. This is like an important stretch here, and it's a fragile stretch. Because if things continue to go like this, all bets are off. Who the hell knows what direction this goes? You know? And I'm trying not to go there yet.
Don't
but
spiral
like
yet.
We all know what we're thinking here is like this could will they blow it up? What kind of crazy changes are made? And that's why you have to come together and figure this out fast.
Yeah.
And it's on this front office to look and go, okay, like I know the trade deadline's February, but like. Or is there something out there? Is there a free agent? Is there a tweak? You know, even internally. Okay, Mike, Orlando Robinson, I know he's not perfect, but like if you need a little more size out there and a guy who will shoot a three as a big, Pep, throw him in there a little
but
bit.
That, this is the other thing too. I and I could be wrong, but what I feel like with Mike Brown, his standards as a coach are so high up there that like if you do have a mess up and you're getting these opportunities – it's like all trust
is lost in so many ways. And I felt like with Orlando Robinson, when he played in that first game, he had a three, he had a big rebound. He was like playing big. You love to see it. And then he came in a different game when those guys were still out. And it just felt like, ooh, are you raw out there? Like what's, you know, what's the struggle? So
sure. But here's my counter to that. What? The guy missed a lot of camp and to start a regular season with a sprained MCL. He's getting back into shape.
I'm not saying I wouldn't give him more time. I'm just saying what I think Mike Brown feels.
I don't know. And this is where, again, you guys will make fun of me. And you guys could find old podcasts where I bring up, hey, why don't you just play this guy? What do you have to lose? I'm not even saying that what do you have to lose. There's definitely, I remember, and I think I said this last podcast, there was like one part during a King season where I was like so irritated seeing Corey Joseph that I was like, just put Kyle Guy in there. It can't be worse. Uh-huh. Okay, I am telling you, I'd throw some Orlando in there.
I like where you're going with this one. I know who.
And Isaac Jones.
Yes, I'm with you.
I have seen enough from Isaac Jones in his G League appearances, mm-hmm. but even in the brief glimpses we've seen in Sacramento.
Yes.
Here's what I do know. This guy will close out. Okay, and he's got like a 7+ foot wingspan. I think it's like 7'2", 7'3". He can close. He's great at closeouts. He has good feel for the game. He doesn't knock down threes. Breaking news, no one knocks down threes on this team. So you know what? Give me the guy in Isaac Jones who can close out on a three-point shooter. Uh-huh. And he's so good with verticality.
I was going to say, he's disciplined. And he's got length.
He can block shots.
I was going to say, he's disciplined too.
The thing he's got to get better at, rebounding. But I just think, like, I'm looking for an injection right now. And everyone can, I know what other fans are thinking right now. Trade this guy. Fire this guy. You know what? None of that is happening right now. So I'm trying to beat OKC tomorrow. I'm trying to focus on who is here right now. Figure it out. And I'm trying to come up with solutions. Isaac Jones, I know you're in South Bay tonight.
Get your ass back here.
You got to play tomorrow. You know, yeah. Those are the...
Hell yeah.
Last year... You didn't see Keon Ellis a lot throughout the season, stretches. And then when Mike was forced to play him,
look at what he did with those opportunities.
How he impacted things. And then you found out a two-way guy that turned into a guaranteed deal because he's a good player and he's really good defensively and probably could make the case he could start. But like someone like Isaac Jones, I'm telling you, when this Kings team is lacking things that we talk about, like they need size, they need length. They've got someone on the roster, not perfect, not the perfect solution, but someone that I've seen enough in his G League appearances and even in Sacramento that he could help you.
Take a breath. Calm down. Good. I think I'm there with you at this point of the season when you're looking for answers and you keep going. The answer that we keep searching for is length, is someone that can stay out there, not be a liability. You know, I think about Doug McDermott being this big guy, this taller guy, but is literally a liability on the defensive end. I mean, the way the man closes out is not good in the NBA. It's just not good because everyone can beat him off the dribble. And then you think about even someone like Colby Jones, who I thought did great in his, or I thought he did well in his time out there tonight. And I like the opportunities that he keeps getting. There's just times out there too, where his size is going to factor in. It's just like, okay, you have another guy at this size. So then when you do think about someone like Isaac Jones and you do think about those long arms closing out on an NBA player, it does trigger something a little bit more, especially since he is disciplined. What?
And I also realized that, and this is the ultimate, like, stupid. This is like what a sports analyst does. What? This is what they do.
What?
You talk about, hey, coach should play the guy who's not playing. You know, like, great take, Deuce. But I felt like I was trying to back it up with some evidence, what I have seen from him. And, like, there was one play against South Bay the other night when they were on the road. Isaac Jones hit three threes in the fourth. I'm not counting on his three-point shooting yet.
But then
the next play down, like, there's a guard getting to the rim. He goes straight up, amazing contest, forces a miss, runs the floor. He is, and even in Stockton the other night, man, he got the ball. I think it was late shot clock, one-on-one, between the legs with the dribble, attacking, finishing, and one. I just think there's enough there. And I saw Sharms and Chego. No G League guys saving our season. I'm not acting like Isaac Jones is saving the Kings season. I'm saying, all right, your bench not giving you much. You've got some weaknesses.
It's about searching for answers of what you have. Because if you sit here tonight and you go like, we need this, we need that, we need this. Well, you don't have it right now. So how else can you try and create these tweaks? And that's with just kind of looking down at what you have. And also, I mean, also just keep asking for more from your guys. You know, it's like... I don't know, like, how else do you say what?
I'm just laughing. You, like, don't have to react like that. I'm just laughing. Now we're going to get into it. Do you want to fight?
No.
Relax.
Well, what?
Just Jay was like, damn, we're asking for Isaac Jones. It's bad, bad. Please don't let that be your takeaway tonight. I've said a lot of other things tonight. Don't just say that was my solution. You son of a bitch.
I mean, it's just like, times aren't great. Times aren't great. What would you do? What would you do?
What would you do if the Kings losing? Okay.
What song is that?
Never mind.
Like, again, this is you think you're singing a song and people know what you're singing. What are you singing?
I don't know. I forget what it's called. Is that really bad?
Wait, song? What are you doing? What would you do, everyone? What would you do if the Kings keep losing all season long?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Good job. Such a... What?
Appreciate everyone hanging out with us, of course.
After a loss?
You guys are basketball sickos. One thing that can help make me feel better and us feel better is if you did hit the thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed to the channel. So all it does is help our channel grow and more fans around the world can... see us dealing with this chaotic season.
It's been worse.
I have a poll question tonight.
It's been way worse.
Will the Kings turn it around? The options: yes, make a tweak and let's go. Nope, it's over. It's a 50-50 vote right now. 50%, 50%.
You're assholes. You're assholes.
Oh, you guys are unbelievable. Gabriel is donating. Gabriel, we're gonna start banning you from donating. Gabriel spends all his money on telling us who the Kings should trade. Anyway, director of rec donates $2. We're 0-3 in the post Royale era.
Oh,
his curse begins.
Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back.
Bring him back, huh?
Yeah, bring him back, please.
Royale is still here.
We can all see your mouth moving.
Just play, pretend like you're dead.
Okay. Whoa! Where is he?
He thought you guys could kill me and it was gonna get better. Royale will haunt you forever. The Kings are cursed until I'm back and kill Slamson.
So we have to sacrifice Slamson like he's Mufasa and
I guess so.
Throw him off a cliff.
Oh my God, you guys are unbelievable tonight.
Okay.
Shout out to Oscar. He's still a member. Kings top 12, still better than Portland, Utah, and New Orleans. Thanks for that. Oh man, who else? Also, 4C Bar has been a member for 16 months saying personnel issue or scheme issue? I think for me, personnel. I mean, I think that's what we talked about a lot tonight. I think we have known the Kings' weaknesses for some time. And not that DeMar DeRozan to me was fixing one of the Kings' weaknesses, which was having a guy that can go get you a bucket. And the Kings lacked that a lot outside De'Aaron Fox, especially once Monk went down. You need another guy to get to the free throw line, another guy who could draw a double team. I still maintain that's a good move. The problem now is like, DeMar is also 35 years old and has a bad back at the moment. And that's a bit concerning. But the other issues we talked about, the size, the length, at the wing spot, these are issues we've talked about since the original Beam team at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Beam Dreamer says, we just need the pizza guy back, Malik Monk, and everything will be fine. Well, that would sure help if he was back for sure. Bad News Sour Grapes. Coach said play defense and the Kings turn in... Kings in turn forget how to play offense. Looks like the team peaked in 2022. Long live the Beam team era. We hardly knew ya. Oof.
That's so sad.
Open Mike donates and says, contribution for pet insurance.
Oh.
Hope the doggy is doing better.
Oh.
Yeah, Carlin is doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Where is he? Doesn't even know.
Yeah, he's doing great. Gabriel has donated a couple times and would like everyone in the chat to know that the Kings should trade DeMar DeRozan and trade Keegan Murray.
Well,
thank you so much for the donation tonight.
Thanks, guys.
But please hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All right. We should take a breather real fast.
Okay.
And tell you that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother in Sacramento, 2319 K Street. Had mother for lunch yesterday morning.
Oh my God, it was so good. If you want to feel good too, especially in this time, go to Mother right now. And I know so many Kings fans and so many Do Some O podcast listeners have. Also, because all throughout November right now, you go in, you bring a photo on your phone, whatever, of your grandma, mom, dead, alive, it don't matter. You'll get 50% off your entire meal. 50% off. This is Michelin bib food. Really good food. So it will make you feel good even if the Kings are losing.
Yeah. Think about that. You're just like, oh, Kings play the Thunder. They're going to make me sick. You might as well eat a good hearty meal before the game.
That just you could in case throw you, up?
Just in case you can enjoy it for a second. Then when it comes up, if it comes up because you get sick of the Kings game, you're like, oh, I remember that taste. That was really good.
That's so gross.
That's not a good sales job.
No, none of that is.
If you want to feel better after a Kings game, you should check out Mother in Sacramento, 2319 K Street.
The flavors are so good, they'll stay in your stomach. And the Kings losing won't even allow you to throw it up.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Kings fans, do me a favor. Scan the QR card on the screen and you can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. And Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You can get up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal and 15% off merch when you use your Golden One credit card at the Kings team store.
Yeah, you guys, so many of our listeners, once again, have scanned this QR code, have become members because they've heard only good stories about becoming a member. You raise that card up in the sky. Scott Freshour says, hey, you're getting upgraded to the lower bowl. I know someone else that has reached out to me and said that during their playoff year, oh yes, not too long ago during their playoff year, they won tickets to a Kings playoffs game, and they just said it was one of the best experiences of their life just because they were a Golden One Credit Union member.
Some would argue a once in a lifetime opportunity.
No,
maybe.
No, God, you're awful.
Go to goldenone.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan, why should people go to Northwest Exteriors for their windows?
They're the best. Seriously. Simply the best, obviously. But you think about how much money that I've saved just because I got new windows. And I was like, I'm going to get a little greedy and save a little bit more. I got an HVAC system. Okay. So they do it all. But I never really understood that why my house was so cold or why it was so hot. And it was because of these things. And now my life is almost perfect. It would be more perfect if the Kings were playing better basketball.
Yes.
My windows can't help that.
No, but they can help make you feel safer. They can help your energy bill go down, and it just makes your house look sexier.
Ooh.
Northwest Exteriors is offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Plus, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024. So check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Northwest.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Thank you.
Hey, Chad, any ideas who we should make our Simply the Best player of the game?
I would say De'Aaron Fox, but did you make it Cam Thomas?
Cam Thomas tonight.
I mean,
simply the best player of the game. Dude is just such a bucket. Also a member of Deuce Mason's fantasy team. Cam Thomas, 34 points, 6 assists. He did on 11 of 22 shooting. He was 4 of 10 from downtown, 8 of 11 at the free throw line. Our simply the best player of the game, Cam Thomas, presented by Northwest Exteriors. Yeah, I'm with you. Fox was fantastic tonight, and that's what's so disappointing is Fox is on a run right now he looks pretty much unguardable. And, you know, tonight, the second half, he wasn't as efficient. I felt like he needed some more looks late in the game. There was a sequence, I think, at the end of the game where the Kings need a hoop. And I'm like, how does De'Aaron Fox not touch the ball?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Nets
started denying him a little bit more, but get him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting to his spots. I thought defensively he was making Cam Thomas work. De'Aaron was spectacular, but he can't do it alone. Cam Thomas was also just an absolute problem out there. It seemed like whenever he is on the floor, he was making something happen. The Kings threw different guys on him. He would make shots, whether they're uncontested or contested. He was fun to watch.
Oh, so much fun to watch. And like, that's what's disappointing about this game too, is that you think about the performance. When you see someone else go off on another team, it's so much more fun to celebrate them when the team that you root for actually gets the dub and everything. But instead, like Cam Thomas, it's just hard not to talk about his game and then also just think about what De'Aaron's been doing the last couple of games and how dominant he's been. It's just disappointing that everyone can't gather around and figure out a way to get the dub around him.
And where do you go from here? Well, you got to forget about this one.
Okay. Fast. Oh, yeah.
Because Oklahoma City is coming to town. Or they're actually in
town.
They're
in town.
They're in town. They're resting. They've been off for a while. They've been off, what, since Wednesday? They've have their own injury problems, of course. Chet is out. We know this. They did recently get Isaiah Hartenstein back, of course. Alex Caruso is not playing for them tomorrow. They're coming off a 109-99 win against Portland after losing two in a row to Dallas and San Antonio. And they're starting a trip. That's Sacramento, Golden State, the Lakers, and Houston. So not a not an easy trip at all for Oklahoma City. But, yeah, I mean, this team's good. They've got guys up and down the lineup who can defend and hit threes. And with Hartenstein back, they've got some legit size to throw out Sabonis. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Sacramento's going to have to all of a sudden play basketball that is inspired from the jump. They're going to have to knock down shots.
Yeah. De'Aaron's going to have to keep playing the way that he's playing. And I think it's funny, after the 60-point game, we talked about, can he keep doing this? And then the next night, he has a 49-point game, you know? So it's like, I think he is capable of keeping that caliber of game up. But at the same time, it makes your job easier when other people are also getting their things done. I mean, even for example, like I text you when Fox had like multiple times when he's getting to the paint, getting that spray three to somebody, Keon at a point, and then Keon actually made it. And when those moments happen and you think about everything that De'Aaron is generating, when all defenses have to collapse on him and pay so much attention to him, you have to do your job if you're his teammates.
Fox had 31 points on 10 of 16 shooting. He was 3 of 4 from downtown. One area, and it was hard to get mad at him because he's been shooting so well from the free throw line. He was 8 of 12 at the line. So he missed 4 free throws. The Kings missed 11 as a team. He also had 5 assists, 2 steals in this game in just under 38 minutes and was everywhere defensively. I thought he did his best with Cam Thomas. Yeah. I thought his pressure on him was fantastic.
Same.
I'm like, God, you're asking so much of this guy to score, to attack, to create, and he's got to defend. Like, damn. Other notes tonight, Keegan Murray, we talked about his game earlier, how he was playing, he was decisive, he was coming off screens hard, he was attacking.
Confident.
He ends up with 21 points, he had 8 rebounds, a couple of big offensive rebounds as well. He got to the free throw line too. He was 6 of 8 at the line, the one mark where he's still struggling, he knocked down his first three.
But then he missed the rest, including having an air ball. He was short on a couple of corner ones. I felt like all the looks Keegan Murray got tonight from three were open. He was 1 of 5. It's like, God, can I just feel like, is he just due for like a good 4 of 6 night from downtown?
Well, when you see another team shooting so efficiently on you,
yeah,
you're like, wait, what? But why can't our guys,
especially
look like
when
that?
We're getting good looks? And that's the other thing, is like, it's one thing, like the Clippers, I felt like made the Kings uncomfortable, and the Kings didn't get a ton of looks.
That's fair.
Good looks against the Clippers. I felt like tonight the Kings had some good looks, and it just didn't matter. You know, Herter, 1 of 5 from three. I mean, the two guys, the Kings hit 9 threes tonight. Ellis and Fox hit 6 of those.
And that's my, you know, with other guys stepping, because like Kevin also had those moments defensively where you were just like, hell yeah, let's go. Like, yeah, if the Kings won, could you be in the running for defensive player of the game? I mean, obviously you think about what De'Aaron did on Cam Thomas and everything as well. But like the other part of your job is making those shots. Like, that is why you're a shooter. You're out there. You know, that goes for Kevin. That goes for Keegan. And even Trey Lyles, just someone that you know that you were able to rely on from three. He only attempted 1 3.
Yeah.
You know, in I just think there's more opportunities for these guys to be more aggressive. Maybe I should go back and go possession by possession to make sure that I'm not just saying that.
Well, let's look at some of these 3-point numbers for a second, okay? This is where the Kings are at. If I would have told you before the season that Keegan Murray was at 29.9%. Kevin Herter's at 29%. Monk at under 28%. Trey Lyles at 33%. This is, you'd be like, oh yeah, the Kings are like below 500. And this is it. Like, the guys that you count on to knock down shots for you that take a high volume of 3-point attempts are not doing that. De'Aaron's up to 35.6. That feels like that's kind of standard for him. Sabonis has dropped off a little bit. He's not taking a ton. He's at 39.5. Keon, after that big night the other night, he's up to 43%. But even DeRozan's, you know, dropped down to 31. So you just, the main guys I just talked about are the ones you count on to knock down threes. That's and all. They're not doing it. You know, like, it's just, I want to see one other stat more. I know we're winding down because we got a game tomorrow. But this is something I try to keep track of, is how players and the team is shooting on wide open or open threes. And we're going to look this up right now. So on open threes, Sacramento is getting, where are they at? Sacramento's getting 13.6 open threes per game, 13.6. And according to NBA.com, open means a defender, the closest defender, is within 4 to 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're shooting on those attempts?
Let's see. If I had to guess, 27%.
26.1%.
Hey, I was close.
That's dead last in the league. 26.1%. Really, okay? Like, that is
cool.
Insane. Where are they on wide open threes? That's with, okay, on wide open threes, they're shooting 39%. That is the defender 6+ feet away. So good. Wide open threes. But 4 to 6 feet? Like, that is crazy, Morgan. Now, one more before we go, because I want to look at how players specifically are doing on that regard on this Kings team, because that will tell a lot. So on open threes, let's go Sacramento. I love all the stats.
You're really good at looking up.
Thank you.
This stuff.
On the fly. Okay. So this year, the guy who's getting the most open threes on the team is De'Aaron Fox. He's getting 3.4 a game, 27.3%.
Okay.
Kevin Herter, 25%. Keegan Murray on open threes, defender within 4 to 6 feet, 19.4%. Malik Monk, 31.3%. Doug McDermott, Mr. I made threes my whole life. I come to Sacramento. I've been infected by the Marco Bellinelli disease.
Or Royale.
But yeah. He's at 26.7%. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then let's look at wide open threes. I know Sacramento's been better in that regard. Wide open threes. Malik Monk on wide open threes this year, 26.9. Trey Lyles, 37. Okay. So some of these numbers aren't as depressing, but still.
But wide open, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're right. Yeah. So This team needs a lot. And I feel like sometimes we become a broken record on these podcasts where it's like, yeah, they need length, they need size, they need some versatility, athleticism, and they need shot making. You've got a guy in De'Aaron Fox who is in the prime of his career, playing the best basketball of his career, has turned into one of the best two-way guys in the league. Who else is with him? Who else is going to be there consistently? That's going to be the challenge. And
consistently,
who else can this team get to help? Making the playoffs 1 year is not legit. Mm-mm. Like, we are all excited for a 16-year playoff drought to come to an end. But now it's like they missed the playoffs 17 of 18. Mm-hmm. Do you want that to become 18 of 19? This season can still turn around. The season can still turn around. But the powers that be have to make something happen for it to get there. Will they be able to get it done? Or are we headed to something that could be ugly? I don't want to go to ugly land. I thought it was funny.
I know you thought it was funny.
I don't want to go to ugly land. It's just like, dude, I did this whole podcast today.
By yourself?
Without headphones.
How did you survive?
I need you to sing me a song for to give me credit for fighting through it. You get a little emo on me. It's fine.
I can't get no da-na-na-na-na-na-na headphones.
No. I was like a Kings related song. You could play like a you know, a little emo song.
I see. He's setting me up. Yeah. But can you even hear it?
I can.
Good bit.
Before you sing,
yeah, because
director of Rec just donated. So can you give a shout out to my sister Cynthia? We are going to the Oklahoma City game tomorrow for her birthday. Hope the Kings light the beam for her birthday.
Oh, okay, Cynthia.
We're definitely gonna hope that for Cynthia.
Yeah,
we won't count on it, but yes, Cynthia, happy birthday. And if the Kings win tomorrow, it's because you are at the game. If they lose, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, because it's your birthday. Can you sing with me?
I don't know the songs. Go ahead.
It's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless.
I'm going to be honest. If you're going to sing like that, then don't sing. That's disappointing.
You know and what? Like, I needed to sing when I was like when the panic was in me.
You know what's crazy?
You made me feel better.
We're doing a show. It's a show.
Do you guys understand?
Lights are on. We're recording. We're live.
Can everyone please understand? Like, he makes me sing on the spot, forces me to sing on the spot, and he doesn't understand how difficult that is. Like,
you know what else is difficult?
Doing a show without headphones.
Doing a show after a Kings loss like this, doing a show when it's 8-9 without headphones, and putting on the show of all shows, trying to entertain the masses for over an hour. So I'm asking you, in this moment of me being vulnerable without headphones, to get into this shit and give me an emo song. You're approaching that song like Keegan approached the Clippers game. I need Morgan to play like Keegan did tonight with this song.
Wow. Thank you. And so many people are saying, yeah, he's sick, Morgan. Yeah, Morgan doesn't have to. Trade Deuce. It's a painless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a painless night. As I'm waiting for you, there's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. And maybe I don't want to see you. And maybe you're just nothing but a dream. Because it's a painless night. As I lay here sleepless, it's a painless night. And waiting for you, there's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. You hit me twice in the last 3 minutes.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
We'll be doing this again.
Oh, not that song, hopefully.
Monday night.
That's tomorrow. That's in an hour and a half.
It is. Kings and Oklahoma City. I hope you enjoyed this vent sesh. I hope we can make you laugh so you didn't cry. We'll get through this together, and hopefully Hopefully this is the low point of the season. I'm going to say that tonight. I hope this is the low point. I hope tonight.
Hey, me too.
I hope we look back at this and go, hey, dude, remember? Remember they lost to the Nets?
When you threatened to kill me to sing
it. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? They beat the Celtics twice in a row. They smoked Cleveland. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
What a funny time. And we were like, we were panicking for what?
Remember that one guy in the chat that said, hey, dude, you're wrong about 50 wins?
Yeah.
We're at 55. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Seriously, appreciate you guys for being here tonight.
Awesome.
If there's anything we missed or things you want to talk about, drop them in the YouTube comments after the show. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.